Welcome to a very special episode of Pastor's Middle Kit, where I am joined by three of the members from YWAM Newcastle's School of Music and Missions band, Arbor Lungs, to talk about their EP that was released last week, and also to go through some of the meanings behind the songs, some experiences they had on tour and recording, as well as getting to the heart of the EP and what it means to them and what they hope it means to other people. Throughout this episode, you'll hear snippets from all the songs on the EP, and I really hope you like them. I like the guys and I like their music, and hopefully you should be making a cheeky trip over to Noise Trade by the end of this episode to pick up some new music. Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to Pastor's Middle Kid.
Myself, last time I made a mistake and sounded like a dying car. This time I'm not gonna make that mistake, so here we go. All right.
Master's Middle Kid. Yeah, welcome to a special edition of Pastor's Middle Kit. Woo! Wow, that was quite the introduction. Thanks for redeeming yourself, Austin.
Oh, thank you. I might have to do it again.
It's basically just like a, it's like putting something on lay-by at the shop, so you come and pay a little bit, but never quite enough dignity to pay it all at once.
No.
So you're just like, oh,
it's filled up.
Next time, I promise.
It's filled up.
It's a cliffhanger to the next episode. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first time was this time was like So next time we'll be looking somewhere in the middle, or
Yeah. So we're gonna mix the two.
Yeah.
But I mean, you gotta have both sides of the spectrum before you have both, right?
Yeah. I get that. I think.
Yeah.
Okay. all right, so this is Pastor's Middle Kid featuring Arbor Lungs. And what we're doing here is we're actually kind of messing with time because we're recording this in March, but this is coming out once the EP has come out, and it hasn't come out yet at time of recording. So we're acting like it has. So if there's ever any time where we say it will sound like this, or it has sounded like this, and it's kind of a weird mixture of tenses, then forgive us, please. But who do I have here with me in Pastor's Middle Kid recording studio?
I'm Tristan Harris, and I'm the guitarist / lead singer for Arbor Lungs.
I'm Krista Colburn, and I'm the lead singer for Arbor Lungs.
Ooh, tension. Already.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were the lead singer.
She's a band leader.
I lead the band.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she's the front woman.
Yeah.
And you're the front man.
Okay.
I'm also the stunt man. So.
Okay. All right. And I'm Austin Wright. I guess I'm the sound guy / bassist. I'm also a middle kid, just to let you know that.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's funny, your bass was lacking in that beatbox earlier.
You know what? They'll just have to wait. All right. Or I guess they won't have to wait because of time and when this is released.
Yes, and this will be released after the next one that has Austin, so it's just kind of messing with everyone. So this will actually be the other end of the spectrum to the first beatbox, which will be released after this, after the third one. Yay, time. Mm. Well, it's great to have you all here. And you've all been students on the School of Music and Missions run out of YWAM Newcastle.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Yeah, Krista, since you are the front woman of the band, the band leader.
Yes.
Would you mind explaining to our listening audience kind of what a School of Music and Missions entails?
Ooh, good one. So the School of Music and Missions is just a group of people from all over the world who want to see God's kingdom come to the orphaned and the lost and the forgotten and the unseen, really. So our main focus is people in bars, the streets, cafes, just those really overlooked in this world. And yeah, we just really are focusing on stepping outside of the church and being a part of the community with music.
Mm-hmm. So using music in missions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's really cool. So, Tristan, if you wouldn't mind being the slash lead singer,
yes, of course,
of Arbalans,
yeah.
The front man, would you mind giving the listeners a bit of an understanding of what the first half of the School of Music and Missions is kind of like?
Mm. Yeah, so like a discipleship training school, the School of Music and Missions has a lecture phase, and it's a 3-month course in which we bring in lecturers and they talk about their experience of music and missions and how communications and how all of those things can be used as a medium or as an outlet to bring God's kingdom to the general populace of unreached people, like Krista was saying, to people in bars or people in just on the streets. So yeah, so the first course of the school was 3 months of lectures in which we just, I guess, sort of came to the conclusion of what it is and what we're doing and what our mission statement as a school is. And yeah, and it was amazing. We had some amazing teachers such as Steve Schallert from Wyom Kona, Chris Thompson, who's involved with Wyom Adelaide, and yeah, and Chad Johnson from Come and Live. So like just an
Chad.
Amazing lecturers and just artists who want to see God's kingdom come.
And so they're giving kind of a different look at aspects of using music in a missions kind of context.
Yeah, and all around the spectrum. So we've had musicians who are currently doing what we want to do and people who have done it. Chad, who's been in the industry for years. And yeah, and then some creative types like Jeff Crabtree from C3 in Oxford, I believe. And yeah, he talked about the creative mind and the process of that, and then he has a book out called Living with a Creative Mind, and he talked about our identity as artists and creatives and how to redeem art in not only in the church but also in just in general and in the world. And yeah, it was really cool. It was a very nice variation of different thoughts and yeah, and teachings.
That's really cool. So at the end of this first 3 months, and I believe during that time there's some songwriting and an arrangement and other things that happen, bit of local ministry.
Yeah.
Austin, what do School of Music and Missions students end up doing for the second 3 months of this course?
All right, so for the second 3 months we have, and again, just like a DTS, you have the outreach phase. So it's about, I guess it's 10, yeah, about 10 weeks of just... You go out and you basically put into practice what you've learned on the lecture phase. You basically take the songs that have been written like on the lecture phase, and you really put them together as a band, and then you take them to bars, you take them to cafes, you take them to the streets or wherever the heck you're playing, and yeah, basically play shows. You learn how to set up events, you learn how to run events, you learn how to promote, like just going out in the streets and handing out flyers, going into bars and meeting the owners, meeting the staff, whatever, just making good relationships with everyone you meet. And it's in the end, it's just really showing you that like it's not like it's a very practical means to like come into missions is actually music. It's not just that you need to go into a third world country, but you can actually promote, well, not just promote, but like show who God is and really reveal who he is through just music that's inspired by him. It's not necessarily worship music, but just bring it to the general public and see them really deeply affected by it.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. It's something that Stevie Lujan, who not only led your School of Music Admissions, but also mine last year with Ransom Mystic, he likes to say that using music to soften people's hearts to Jesus.
Yep.
That's it's kind of his catchphrase with this school.
Yeah.
And yeah, so as I just alluded to there, in case the listeners weren't aware, I was asking these questions knowing the answers because I myself have taken a School of Music Admissions. Yeah, this initial introduction is for your sake, dear listener. yes. Oh, wait. What was it again? I forget. It was 1 year ago. great. So, as Arbalungs, you've just released your EP.
Right.
And Krista, yeah. why don't you share with the listeners, first of all, the title and the name behind... Sorry, then the reason behind the name, as well as a bit of an overview of the heart behind the EP and what you're planning to do with that now that it's released.
Yeah. So, oh man, this is a big question.
Yeah.
But
this is where the reveal comes to me.
Yeah, this is exclusive. The big reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except I'm keeping it secret until it's been released.
This is real, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is real time. The
time
name
travel scary.
Yeah, it's time travel scary. The name is going to be Greenhouse. So Greenhouse is the Arbalungs album. Da 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 da.
Oh my goodness. But you know that now. So.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Greenhouse for us is kind of just comes alongside our name, Arbalungs,
mm-hmm.
of just a sanctuary and a refuge and a place of growth. And yeah, Greenhouse was just a really important visual and important word for us, even in coming up with who we are as a band, as Arbalungs. And yeah, so we're just really excited about this album. It all really stems along just you're welcome, and this is just a place where you belong, and
mm-hmm.
you are loved, and this is like how God sees you. Like, he sees you as his daughter, his son, his, you know, like, it's just really cool to see this music finally come out, and excited to see just how God wants to use it exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In particular, there's a song called Refuge that Gianna and Tristan wrote about the Syrian refugees.
Wow.
And it's just like super powerful and just another example of God's heart for everyone, really. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. I want to point out a pun that you probably didn't realize that you made.
Rat roll.
And you said it stems from, and I just thought stems, plants, greenhouse.
Oh my God.
To be perfectly honest, I was almost distracted from everything else you said after that.
But
I wasn't. No, I heard everything.
That's personal growth, man. Wow.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just oh my God.
Just leave it be, man.
Alright.
great. Well, now that we've really got down to the roots of this album.
Oh my God.
Come on. Okay, so let's why don't we talk about that song then? This song Refuge. Tristan, you wrote it with Gianna.
Yeah.
And we'll play a clip of that now, and then we'll talk a bit about it.
He says get on the boat. She doesn't want to leave their home. They fight long into the night.
Yeah, so this song, like you said, I wrote it with Gianna, and we were in the Blue Mountains at the time in songwriting, and she had this sort of skeleton of a song where she had an idea where she wanted to write a story about this fictitious but also really realistic
mm-hmm.
Little girl who is a Syrian refugee and who's traveling with her family to escape and find refuge. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, the story just paints a picture of this little girl's time and how it begins with her escaping with her family and her parents saying, we can't stay here, we have to go, and we don't understand. And from a child's perspective, it's very scary, but all you can do is trust your dad and your mom and God, really. And so, and they leave, and then the middle section of the song, I guess, is them on this boat, and it's scary, and it's raining, it's storming, and again, this is all just a story, but this is just our, I guess, imagining of what it's like, escaping persecution. And so they're on this boat, and this is where the hook of the song comes in. The mom starts to sing a lullaby to the little girl, just to comfort her, and she swears she heard angels and sirens singing along with her. And then the third verse and the conclusion of the song is where they reach shore, and and just says, we'll be okay, mom and dad are here, we made it to safety, we made it to refuge. And it's funny because no one knew the meaning of the song until I explained it to one of our shows, and then everyone behind me was like, what? That's the meaning of the song. And Steve was like, really?
It was like our second to last show that the band actually figured out what the song was
after
about.
After playing it for like 2 months, and then they finally, and when I finally explained it, they were like, oh, we had no idea.
Wow.
I spent a long time trying to figure it out.
Wow.
He says they're safe now. He says that they will be okay. He says, don't fear, mom and dad are here.
Yeah, because it's sort of written from the, it goes between the first person and third person narrative.
And you probably wouldn't have said the name Syria in there.
No.
So you were keeping it fairly ambiguous while definitely having a clear story in mind.
Yeah.
That people could interpret and apply to their own lives how they
exactly. will. Exactly, yeah. Okay. And Gian is very good at writing in that sort of context where she makes it very personal to her, but also can make it, like you said, ambiguous enough so people can relate to it. And I had a lot of fun writing this song, and I'm very proud of it as well.
Great, cool. So that was one of the songs, Refuge, and this EP has 7 songs.
Yep.
Austin, is there a particular song that you either helped write or that really stood out to you meaning-wise, even if you didn't really know what it meant?
Getty and Nico, they wrote a song called Garden. Mm-hmm. And I think the song it really resonates extremely well with all of us. It was kind of the last song that we finished in studio, and it left us crying at the end.
There's a house made of glass where the green plants grow. In this house there's a rose, and the rose is at home.
It holds a really important place in our heart. It's basically, the whole song is just talking about like a rose just growing up in a garden in a greenhouse, and just basically finding a place of like safety, is a place of sanctuary just to grow. But then also it talks about like how it can get like, basically at some point you will face the storms of this life. But then it comes back to the chorus where it's just saying like, in my hands you are home, you are welcome home. Just like kind of saying, no matter what happens to you, no matter what happens in life, no matter where you go, you're always welcome home, and you're always welcomed into this, basically. Welcomed into the Father's arms.
It was a really powerful moment. Because we're all just singing, just overlapping like gang vocals, and Holy Spirit sort of just fell in that room, and then our producer Pete Wood, who you worked with.
I love Pete Wood.
Such an amazing producer.
Yeah.
He comes in and he just tells us, hey, pray over the album, pray over New Zealand, and and he said he's gonna record that and put it under. So if you listen to Garden closely enough, you could probably hear little whispers it's just us prophesying and interceding over the nation of New Zealand and our album and what it'll do. So
that's amazing. So this song Garden is, it's kind of like the Arbor Lungs song, because it's incorporating the meaning behind the name as well as the meaning behind the album. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I would say it's very thematic. I don't think it was intentional, but definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think all the songs in some degree, if you listen to it, have that same sort of meaning of family and I guess refuge and shelter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think the whole album all the songs as a whole have a very, like Austin said, thematic sort of reoccurring theme to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, but Garden definitely is a perfect way to end it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sort of like encompasses reconciliation with family and shelter and all that stuff that we want to portray as a band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. I almost regret recording this now without me having heard any of the songs because I would have some really good specific questions to ask, but I don't have any right now.
I mean, but later, which is going to be earlier when this is actually released, you'll have heard the songs tonight.
Live.
Live tonight. And you could ask
me some
questions.
Which was a couple months ago.
Yeah. Which was a couple months ago. So it's not tonight.
My brain.
This time thing is confusing, but I mean, if you want to ask me any questions then... happy to answer.
Great. The only problem with that will be it won't be recorded.
True.
But great. Well, getting back to the whole experience and the heart behind Music and Missions is really the missions.
Mm.
Not in as big a part the music. Does that kind of make sense? So we're using music, but that's kind of the means to the end.
Yeah.
And the end is the missions. The end is bringing people into a relationship with Jesus and that type of thing. Do any of you guys have a story from Outreach in New Zealand where you saw God use music as a way to open up a connection with somebody or to soften their hearts?
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was in Christchurch, we had actually just finished a set of busking at this... it was like the shipping container mall and there was like a little stage. It's so weird. Christchurch is the weirdest city I've ever visited. It's like half rubble and half new developments and it's all looks like there's an identity crisis there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were busking and just playing at the stage and this guy who was just sort of sitting at the side drinking a beer.
Mm-hmm.
He just was listening, bobbing his head to it. He'd go grab a beer, then the change he would get from his beer he had put into our guitar case, and then he'd keep doing that. He probably did that four times over and gave us like $50 of change. And so he was just sitting there, and after the show I went up to him, just started talking to him, and he was just a really cool dude, and he bought our team pizza afterwards too, because he just said he wanted to and he's making a lot of money, so he said he wanted to bless us. And it was crazy. Then he brought our team pizza. And then as I was praying for another guy, he came up, grabbed my hand. I didn't even realize he was doing this, but then he slapped $20 into my hand.
Wow.
And then just said, thank you so much for the music. And like, I loved hearing you guys play. And then he just walked away, you know? So he probably gave us like almost $100 of his own money.
Good grief.
Just listening to us busk. And it, not say that the music was bad, but it was definitely not worth $100 of his own money.
Yeah.
So that was insane to us, just the generosity and spirit. And then I guess that what music really does, it, like Stevie talks about it, it's a means of communicating, it's a means of relationship, and just sort of like an outlet just to have relation with people. And I saw that, we all saw that in different ways, see that come to fruition in New Zealand, and it was the coolest thing. And really humbling, sort of like doubting yourself and then seeing it happen, and like hearing it talked about in lectures, but then seeing it happen is a whole different game.
Yeah.
And it was really inspiring and makes us want to keep doing this and pursuing this afterwards as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
one of the songwriting topics was how does God view me?
Yeah.
And Betty wrote a song called Daughter, mm-hmm. and it was just about how God sees her. And it's just like, daughter, you mean the world to me, like over and over again, mm-hmm. like, can't you see this? And I think just seeing people every time we sang that song get affected mm. by the music, it just reminded me over and over again of why we do what we do, yeah. is to stir up that emotion, to stir up those questions of mm-hmm. who is God, who is this person that they're talking about in this song, and how do I feel the same love? Mm-hmm. Because we never say God in the song. But so often people would come up to us and say, like, how do I get this love? Like, where is this love coming from?
Wow.
Because it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Again, with that song, with Black Sheep, with, you know, Take Me Back, all these songs just stirred emotion in people everywhere we went and caused questions in their lives. And I know for me, like, that's what I do is I want people to have more questions and to be curious, mm-hmm. because curiosity is beautiful and it shouldn't be shut down.
Mm-hmm. Do any of you guys have a particular story from recording? You shared the one about Pete getting you guys to pray and
yeah.
prophesy, and that's awesome. Pete's the best guy. Do you have any other stories from the recording process? Maybe something that was a challenge that you overcame?
For sure.
Yeah. Or anything that was maybe a new idea came out of nowhere and changed the sound of a song or something.
Yeah. Well, this album, we faced so much opposition. Sort of in the last week. We had gotten all our preliminary recording done, gotten scratch tracks, and then we got acoustics and piano, and I guess some of the bass, and we were starting to track drums, and we had gotten a few tracks done, mm-hmm. and then it was my turn to go up and start drumming, and Pete, his studio that we were at, it's this complex, and so he has neighbors, and
yeah.
But it's an industry. Industrial area, mm-hmm. so you know, it's kind of implied that there'd be a lot of noise.
Yep.
But anyway, we're drumming on this one track, and I was finishing up Jack on the drums, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Stevie comes in, just tells me to stop, and because his neighbor had just come in and threatened to shove the drums up my ass, and so naturally I stopped and was scared for my well-being,
mm-hmm.
but kind of question, because, you know, how could you shove an entire drum kit one person's rectum? You know, biologically speaking, it's impossible. So I was just like, yeah, good luck.
With every choice there is consequence. Stone hearts in self-defense. And you break your heart just to fail.
But then he had later come over and threatened to shove the actual drumsticks. I'm like, yeah, that's plausible.
Yeah.
Stop. But yeah, so, like, and so that put up, I guess, a hiatus in the recording process as far as drumming goes. And
right.
we couldn't be too loud now, and which was really frustrating for Pete. And that took a toll on his well-being too, mm-hmm. and which led to him getting kidney stones. And he actually passed out on his bathroom floor, and we had to stop recording and drive him to the hospital. And he's at the hospital, and we're without an audio engineer,
mm-hmm.
and we have no idea what to do, so we can't do anything. And then at the hospital, Stevie, the guy leading our school, is in the parking lot going to get, I can't remember what he was out there, getting his wallet or something, and he almost gets mugged. And someone's asking him, like, you know, what are you doing here? Like, where's your wallet? Where's your car? And then he's just like, my friend has kidney stones, that's why I'm here. And then the guy just leaves. And so, like, and in that moment, Steve realized, and we all realized, like, how petty the devil's tactics are.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, stop us. And it just makes us realize how important this album actually is, that we're coming up against so much opposition and getting attacked physically and spiritually and emotionally. And so and I feel like this album will do and has already affected people and changed the atmosphere spiritually and in the physical.
Yeah.
And so recording was in many ways an amazing process and very difficult and oppressing process.
Cool and pretty beautiful, I think, too. A lot of people overcame a lot of fears with recording and really learned to love their voice, love their instrument, love the songs that they may not have loved before, just within that process of recording with Pete and having him really just encourage the individual too in this process and really challenge us too. I know for me, my voice is really pure. It's not super gospel big funness. It's pretty pure. And for me, like when recording Black Sheep, he was like, are you coddling them when you're singing them to them? Are you singing like, oh, Black Sheep, you're gonna be okay, like you're all right, little buddy? And he was like, no, you're not. You're frustrated with them and you're angry at them, so sing like you're frustrated. And he's like, thought about that before, like yeah that's true. And so black sheep, you're not as lost as it seems. Black sheep, you're not as broken as you think, 'cause even then, like continuing to be challenged in music all the way to the end of this outreach was just so good.
Austin?
I want to say, like, the beautiful part of the recording process was really that, like, everybody, they had these songs they've written, but with just by yourself, usually you can't make that song come into the fruition of what you have in your mind. And it was just, it was a beautiful process of just being able to see, like, the joy of the team and just the unity of the team, just how we would be bouncing all these ideas off of each other and then see the finished product come out as something that we're all happy with and all just, like, really overjoyed with, that, like, what we had in our minds is finally out there and it's finally like a finished product. And I think, like, that was just the amazing thing for a lot of us to really realize that, like, whether we've been in the studio before or not, it's just like seeing, like, basically tangibly seeing that music and, like, the music we write can actually be a really good finished product.
Collaborations are really really cool thing. I definitely found that in the studio last year. It was being able to, like you said, bounce ideas off each other. One thing leads to another. Oh, that makes me think we need this instrument or this type of melody in this spot.
Like Tristan, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, there's two weird instruments that ended up getting, well, not weird. The first one's not weird. The second one is weird. The first one was Pete has a melodica, right? Plays it in one of, Tristan plays it in one of the songs, and, like, initially I'm like, what the heck is Tristan doing with melodica? Like, that makes no sense. And then when I hear it in the song after, it's like, that is awesome. And then Pete's like, the tambourine's just too weak. So, like, Tristan literally goes and gets, like, Pete goes and gets him, like, the cutlery drawer, or, like, the cutlery basket, whatever you want to call it.
The cutlery out of his drawer, and then we put a tambourine in it, and then we use that as a some type of percussive instrument.
And like, you look, I look in the room as Tristan's doing this, he's like shaking it back and forth with this goofy smile on his face. I'm like, what the heck?
Knives, forks, and tambourines just like being.
It was just so ludicrous, and there's chopsticks in there too. And yeah. Just like, I couldn't shake it too hard, otherwise forks would fly out. And so, and it, the coolest part is like, he heard it, and then I heard it back, and I was like, it's like such a lower, you know, it's not as, you know, I guess Rini. That's like the, you know, the tambourine is. Mm-hmm. So it has a nice low. It almost sounds like Shackles. And we only use it for the song Refuge. And you, if you hear it, it's in the beginning. But it sounds so cool. And that was like Pete, like he's just like that classic creative mind person where you thought like, oh, this would sound good here. Oh, put a melodica here. Mm-hmm. And it was just so fun bouncing off ideas with him because I'm a pretty, you know, producing kind of, you know, I have a pretty productive mind, I guess, in the terms of music. And so it was just cool bouncing off ideas. Like, this would sound cool here. Like, we should take this out and put this here. And it was just fun just rearranging songs with him. And even though we went through a lot of like oppression and hurt feelings and feeling bad about ourselves, like the finished product is amazing.
Yeah. Do you feel like the recording process brought the album to life, or do you feel more like is it really different from the live presentation, or is it kind of just adding something?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
For example, Daughter, when we play that live, it's always like so powerful for us.
Yeah.
And the recording is amazing and I love it, but it doesn't capture that live aspect.
Yeah, I see.
Whereas songs like Garden are I feel like are meant to be in the studio because it, you know, you really hear in the studio that we got that what we wanted out of it, that sweet almost aroma of like what we're trying to, you know, encompass as a band, as Arbor Lungs. And it was and Jack, for example, is another song where we had no idea what that song was going to be like, because I had written it and I had produced it and I knew what I wanted for it, but no one else knew what to do with it. So I started to sort of take the reins on it and sort of make it to what it was, and now I love the song, you know, and the band loves the song, and it's hard loving that song because it was so undefined of what it actually was. For example, that's another song that's like meant to be in the studio. And I don't know. What do you think, Kristen?
Yeah, I just think the album as a whole turned out exactly how we wanted it to. Like, every song, every single one of us is so proud of. Like, just take so much joy that it's exactly what we wanted it to be. And I didn't think from the beginning of the school to where I am now just how proud I would be of this album. And, like, it's amazing. Like, it really is. It captures our heart for the school, our heart for New Zealand, for Australia, for the world, really. And we're just really, really proud of this music and really thankful for all of the people who came alongside us within this journey in New Zealand and here at YWAM, and our family supports back home who just really encouraged us through the whole process.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like at the end of this whole 6-month journey with music, you have a future in this type of thing? Or was it more like a one-time, I'll look back on that forever kind of deal?
I mean, I'll start off just quickly. Yeah, like, I didn't really realize or even think that I was in a school of music admissions until like halfway through the school, where I'm like, holy crap. Like, it's not just that I'm following God and like obeying, like, this is what God said, but it was like, wow, God is actually putting this for me to actually, like, because he wants me to do something with music, and because, like, music isn't just a side project now in my life, it's, like, a main part of my life, and that, yeah, definitely will continue to be that way for me personally.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see the SOMM go anywhere but up.
Yeah.
So I'm really committed to seeing the SOMM grow, both here at Newcastle and Kona and Perth, and wherever the Lord wants the SOMM, I want to be a part of making it grow.
Yeah, that's so good.
To reiterate what these guys said, like, definitely seeing Stevie do his thing with song, and being a part of it, it's just really, you know, giving me sort of direction of how to do it, and how to be a musician and be a missionary and do all those things. And it can seem a little daunting at first, and where to start, but like, it's all just about serving, man. It's all about loving God, and not to say it's easy as trusting him and he'll take care of the rest, but like, he'll guide you on your path, and definitely we've seen that, again, to use that word, coming into fruition as we have gone through this school, and it's going to look different, our careers with music and our futures with that, for all of us, you know. I don't not to say that we're not going to be part of each other's music in that sense, but I'm really excited to see what these guys do with their music, because they're all amazing, talented. Yep. Everyone on the school is gifted in different ways, but in amazing ways. And I'm just excited to hear the music they produce, and to be honest, the music I produce as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been amazing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Abba Lungs, Austin, Krista, and Tristan, it's been a real pleasure having you on Pastor's Middle Kid today. You can go to www.noisetrade.com/Arbalungs/greenhouse to get the album for free.
Yes.
Because these guys love giving away their product.
Yep.
And you can, if you haven't already, you can find them on Facebook too. Arbalungs, Arborlungs. Yeah, I really hope you guys like it. And yeah, enjoy your listening experience, and thanks for coming on the show a couple months before it gets released, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's been fun doing some time travel with you.
Thank you, future Ryan.